Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, as you take your Bible out, go with me if you will. You know where, Hebrews, first chapter. Dan did such a good job, verse number 5. For those of you that are new, we go line upon line, precept upon precept. God wrote it that way. You ought to be able to understand it that way. As we look at verse number 6 of the first chapter of Hebrews today, it really says a lot. Let me give you a title to the message so you can make some notes. Truth about worship. Let me just say this to you. What if? Let's play the what if game. Has anybody ever played that? I want you to listen closely. What if what you heard about worship is wrong? What if you are worshiping God incorrectly? What if maybe you are worshiping according to the traditions, ceremonies, and rituals of man that you think is the right way, when in fact it's the wrong way? I'll prove to you by the scripture today, listen closely to what I'm going to say to you, that you can worship the right God the wrong way, and if I can use a San Bernardino vernacular instead of Greek and Hebrew, and tick him off. You can make God angry. You can get God to just be frustrated with you because it's the right God, but you're worshiping God possibly the wrong way. What if we worship God because that's all we know what to do? What if we worship God because we are a people who have been trained by other people instead of being trained by the Word of the Lord? What if we're doing something that's wrong when we think it's right? Does God bless us for good intentions? I don't think so. And so today we're going to look at this wonderful subject, the truth about worship. But I want to share it with you out, if I may, the first chapter, verse number 6 of Hebrews. Keep in mind that the book of Hebrews is talking about the exaltation, the greatness, the preeminence of Christ. That's why it was written. It was written because there's a people who were lifting up prophets and lifting up angels above Jesus, lifting up Moses and lifting up their culture and their traditions and their religious ceremonies above Jesus. And nothing can be and should be lifted up above Jesus, even angels. But for most of us, if an angel appeared in our living room, we would fall down and we would worship the angel. We would be wrong to do such a thing. Because there's only one that's going to be worshipped, and that's God. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a few moments. But here we find out of verse number 6, first chapter of Hebrews, it says these words, "But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him." And I don't know if you understand what's taking place, but when you read this, here the firstborn into the world is speaking about Jesus. And the word he, notice how it is capitalized, speaking about God. And then he comes along and he, God, says, let. The word let there now says, I'm giving the angels permission to do something that they didn't have permission to do before. And the angels that are of God will worship Jesus, him. Notice the capital H in the word him, meaning Jesus. So all of a sudden we see God saying to the angels, worship Jesus. You have permission. It's free for you to do it. Go ahead and do it. And now we see something that takes place that's exciting, because God the Father says about the Son, my Son is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're talking about one God. Three diverse things that they accomplish and do, but it's one God. And Jesus is God. And that's why he says to the angels, worship him. And it's important for us to see that if it's important for God the Father to see that the Son is worshiped properly, it ought to be important to you and I to worship the Son properly, our Lord and our Savior. And again, I say to all of you, and I challenge your thinking right now, how do you know you're worshiping God properly? How do you know you're not just stuck in the traditions of men? The rituals are what men say you ought to be doing instead of what God says you should be doing. And for all of us that are in here today, we want to learn. We want to grow. We don't want to assume. We want to know what is right that God would have us to do when it comes to worshiping the Lord. So therefore, I have a little subject, four things I want to share with you. There are four things that are important on what we should know and do about worship. Today, you can make some simple notes, and I love this. Just have some simple thoughts about where you're at in worship with God. Four simple things on what we should know, but not only know it, because we know a lot of things, and what we should do about worship. The first thing is kind of a funny little tongue twister. It really doesn't make a lot of sense, but I wanted it that way because I wanted to challenge your thinking. So here's number one. Listen closely. Here's number one, what we should know and do about worship. Number one, worship to God is me. Worship to God is you. Worship is not just a song. Worship is not just a beat. Worship is not just a melody. Worship is not just a rhythm. Worship is not just a time. For an example, some of you, you may have been late and you said on your way to church today, you said, "We're going to miss worship." No, you didn't. Worship should have started the moment you got out of bed and put your pants on for Jesus. Because real worship isn't in the sound. Real worship is in the lifestyle. You worship God. That's why we that are called of Christ as children of the Lord live as full-time worshipers of God. When you raise your children according to the Lord, you're worshiping God. When you make a decision for the things of God, you worship God. When you put your pants on and go to church, when you don't feel like going to church, you're worshiping God. Worship started before you ever got in this building this morning, and most of you didn't even know it. When you pray, when you read your Bible, when you take time, when you meditate, when you feel like doing something contrary to the ways of God, but the Spirit of the Lord just keeps you in line so that you do what God would have you to do, that is the greatest worship you'll ever give to God. And a lot of times we miss the life of worship that we're called to do. You may have yourself in a mundane, boring job. Maybe you're just flipping hamburgers all day long. But if you do it unto the Lord, it's a worship. If you're one of those people that are painting a house, and I don't know, and you're just going up and down with a brush all day long, and you think your life is insignificant, and you think your life is unimportant, can I say this to you? Listen closely to what I'm going to say. When you do it unto the Lord, according to Ephesians the 6th chapter and Colossians the 3rd chapter, when you do it unto the Lord, it's a worship to God. And so you live out life in worship. And many times we'll come into the house of God. The music for us that are older, we say it's just not where we're at. Our eyes tear up when a hymn is being sung. But can I tell you something? And I don't mean to offend anybody, but listen closely. That's immaturity. Because it's not about a song. It's about a life. It's not about a rhythm. It's about a life. It's not about a sound. It's about your life. And when I love my wife, according to what God would have me to do, I'm worshiping the Lord. When I care about my children, provide, protect for them, and guide them in the ways of the Lord, and become a living example, oh, may I say, that's worshiping God. And that doesn't just start when you go to church. It starts before you ever get in church. When you get out of bed in the morning and you say, "I'm going to live for God," you started a day of worship because you're a full-time worshiper of the Lord. You may not even know a song. You may not even know a beat. You may not play an instrument at all. If you're like me, you can't sing at all. But I'm a worshiper. When I gave up my business that I didn't want to give up, and I got in the pulpit years ago and started preaching the gospel, which I did not want to do, I was worshiping the Lord. Every day that I come and I don't want to be a pastor, but I am a pastor, and I get in the pulpit and I do my job, it's a worship to God. When you do something you don't even want to do, but you do it because you know it is a blessing to the Lord, you are worshiping God. And for all of us in here, we stop and we think, well, I don't sing, I don't play an instrument, I'm really not worshiping God. I want you to know something. Worship starts long before your day ever is even acknowledged. Your life is the worship. Let me show you something. Jesus is speaking in John. Go there with me in the 4th chapter, verse number 24. In John, the 4th chapter, in verse number 24, it says these words. Jesus is speaking. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know the verse. But let's really look at the verse again. May I point out some things about the verse you may not have noticed before? Watch this. You'll like it. Listen closely. Notice the capital S on the word God is spirit. He's talking about his position. Like when you talk about God being spirit, now that's a capital S. Like, for an example, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it would be a capital S. Now you'll see it says, and those who worship him must worship him. And I love the word must. Don't you love the word must? I think in American churches, we ought to preach on the musts of the Bible instead of more than just the assumptions of the Bible. Until the church has the must of the Bible down, why in the world do we teach the assumptions of the Bible? We haven't even got the basics down, and we're out there in la-la land somewhere. We ought to teach the people to get back to the simple basics. We must, everybody say must. We must worship in spirit, but notice the spirit here is a small s. The small s is referring to your thinking, your emotions, your will, your personal passions, your lifestyle. So when he says God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit, and he's really talking about in who you are. That with everything that you are, every bit of being that you are, everything that you say, every expression that comes out of your mouth, every bit of your lifestyle, you worship in spirit and then according to what God says, truth. Because if you're not worshiping in truth, then you're worshiping based on what you think and what someone's taught you instead of what God wants you to do. Now, I can worship. I want you to hear me. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. I can worship God the wrong way and tick off God. I can worship the right God, hear me now, the wrong way and make God angry. Did you hear me? I can worship the right God the wrong way, thinking I'm okay when I'm not, and it frustrates God. I'll prove it to you. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, somewhere around verse number 8, we find a story of Moses who's gone up to Mount Sinai. And he's up there for a long time talking to God. He took no water with him. He took no food with him. So the children of Israel, after a bunch of days, are saying, this guy's probably died up there. Where is he? Now they go to his brother Aaron, and they say, Aaron, you've got to provide for us God. If Moses is gone, who knows where he's at? Moses looks around and says, okay, break off the gold out of your earrings. Break the gold off of your nose and off of your nose rings and off of your bracelets and bring me your gold. And Aaron takes the gold, if you remember that, and he forms it into what is called a calf, a golden calf. You know what a calf is? It's a cow. This golden calf. And when he finishes, here's what he says. This is the God who delivered us from the hands of the Egyptians, and will worship this God. right God, wrong way of worship. Now listen to this. God's talking to Moses, and he's, can I put it in San Bernardino language? No Greek and Hebrew, just San Bernardino, let's talk. He says, Moses, those guys down there at the bottom, they lost their minds making me a cow. You better get down there. I mean, this is really amazingly paraphrased, by the way. This is like the giant paraphrase of all paraphrases. This is like Jim's opinion idea. This is not scripture. But this is what he's saying. You better get down there and straighten them out before I come down there and wipe them out. No, wait a minute, God. I had good intentions. I'm worshiping the God, not any other God, the God that delivered me from the hand of the Egyptians, the God that took me out of the grips of Pharaoh, a God that's taken me to the promised land. I'm worshiping the right God, but I'm doing it the wrong way, and man, they're in trouble. Could we be worshiping God when we're not in it and not according to truth? Same thing. And when we come into the house of God, we rely on a sound, a beat, something from our past that comforts us because we're familiar with it, instead of understanding that it's in spirit, me, you, and truth on who He is. We miss the real worship that God has. And God cares because He told His angels to worship the Son. We're talking about what we should know and do about worship. Number one, worship is you and me. Number two, what we should know and do about worship. Number two, only God is worshiped. Now, you say, of course. Only God is worshiped. Of course, I understand that. I wouldn't dare worship anything else or anybody else, but we do it all the time. We worship our jobs. We worship our kids in America. We worship youth in America. We worship intelligence. We worship education. We worship our money. And the Bible says that worship is anything that bows yourself down in a prostrate position and you become subservient to it. When you become subservient to it and you put your trust and it becomes so superior, here's what happens. You have now been into worship, and when you become subservient to another person or to money or to somebody's money or somebody's education, are some hero of the world, the stuff that we have, our cars, our homes, and all that other stuff that we worship and spend more time bowing down before than God, we're in sin. And we do it, all of us. Spend more time teaching our kids to play soccer than we do teaching them the Word of God. Soccer now becomes your God. And you're now worshiping soccer more than God. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to show you something. Is that okay? I love you enough to tell you the truth. And we're all there, but we don't have to be there. Because there's only one to be worshipped, and that's God. And it's not stuff. It's not things. It's not what you have or don't have. In fact, that's why Jesus said you can't worship mammon and God. Mammon being a god of finances. It's an interesting thing. Our hearts are turned and we become subservient to these things oftentimes. We fear man. I one time hired a youth pastor. His name was Eddie Elguera. Most of you know Pastor Eddie. He's now a great man of God who pastors the Rock Church of Coachella Valley. In fact, Rock Church of Coachella Valley consists of Palm Desert, Desert Hot Springs, got a church in La Quinta, one in... When I met Eddie and hired him, I didn't hire him because he was talented or gifted. He was a bricklayer, a mason. Wasn't doing very good. I made him the youth pastor because I didn't have anybody else. Eddie came up to me and would never talk to me. For about 6 months, I recognized a pattern. He'd send his wife up to me all the time, Donna. If you know Donna, she had no problem talking to anybody. She'd get in the president's face, you know what I'm saying? She had no problem. But Eddie was petrified of me just because of the position that I carried. He wouldn't talk to me. Every time that he'd get near me and I ask him a question, he'd look away. I'm going, oh my goodness, what's going on? Eddie now has become from Clark Kent to Superman because of God that's on the inside of him. But oftentimes we will worship other people and tremble at their presence because of who they are, and we're making the mistake and we forget that God is the only one we tremble at his presence. Are you listening to me? So important for us to see in the book of Revelation. It's kind of interesting. Go there with me, if you will, in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're talking about the God, only God is to be worshipped. And in Revelation 22, here we find that John falls on his face at the feet of an angel. I don't know. I said it earlier. I'll probably say it again. So let's just say it. Most of us, if we had an angel show up in our living room, would fall down on our face, start worshiping him. We wouldn't know what to do, and it's wrong. And here's John, he falls at the feet of an angel. And the angel immediately starts to say something back to John. And chapter 22, if you will, and verse number 9, it says this, and then he said to me, this is the angel talking to John, see that you don't do that. In other words, stop it. For I am a fellow servant, and of your brethren, and the prophets, and those who kept the word of this book. Worship God. The angel wouldn't let him worship him. Because there's only one to be worshipped, bowed down to and subservient to, is God Almighty himself. And guys, without that, we fail. Without an understanding of that, we'll end up worshiping all kinds of things. We'll worship our jobs, our cars, our education. We'll worship animals and we'll worship. We're always looking for something to put our heart in when God is the one that God wants us to put our heart in him. That's where real worship comes from. Is anybody listening? We're talking about a wonderful subject, what we should know and do about worship. Number 3, we've got to worship with understanding. And what I mean by that is simply this. We worship oftentimes because everybody else is worshiping. Look, for an example, case in point, we come into the house of God. In our particular church, we clap to the beat of the music. So in this particular case, you maybe have 2,500 people clapping to the beat of music. And when you get everybody singing, everybody clapping, it's kind of an effectual thing. It kind of affects you and you kind of get in there, but your brain is somewhere else. Has anybody ever done that? You know what I'm talking about. We've all done that. And you find yourself coming in and worshiping God really because everybody else is doing it. It's the tradition. It's what we do. It's what we do for a few minutes in the beginning of a service. Instead of worshiping God with an understanding of who God is. If we come into the house of God, and of course every one of us would say, I am clapping my hands, I'm singing this song, I'm worshiping God because he is great and wonderful. But have you ever stopped and thought about how great he was while you're worshiping? He's the one that has redeemed you. You were ready to fall into the pit of hell, and he snatched you from the gates of hell. He's the one that gives you a breath. Without him giving you a breath, you wouldn't even have a beat in your heart. He's the one that gives you the heartbeat. He's the one that makes the seas, makes the oceans, makes the stars, and speaks the lands. He's the one that puts an atmosphere around the planet. He's God Almighty, and he needs to be worshipped for who he is and what he has done. And someone might say to me these words, Pastor Jim, you don't understand. God hadn't done anything in my life. Maybe you're one of those people that you saying that to yourself today. You know, God hasn't really done big things in my life. Can I tell you? I don't want to be rude, but I got to tell you how I feel because I always do. Don't be stupid. When you opened your mouth and took a breath, God provided the air. When your heart pumped, God provided the ability for your heart to pump. You listen to what I'm saying. When you got up and ate the toast, whether it was burnt or not, and drank the coffee, which I'm hoping you did, I want you to know something. God provides it all. When you get up in the morning and take a shower and there's hot water, oh, glory to God. How many know there's got to be a God when hot water hits you? It just feels good, you know? And so everything, sometimes we forget that God is in everything, and He's the one that develops everything for you and I. He's God Almighty. And He should be of an understanding, not just out of a system, not out of a routine, not out of traditions, not out of ritual, worshiping God. When you get into worship, it's God, I love you so much. I'm laying my life down. I want you to know something, if I can just share this with you. Listen to this. A lot of times people don't understand this. To worship God will cost you you. You got to get out of yourself and get into God. And it will cost you. Someone says, you know, Jesus went to the cross and died for you. You don't have to do anything. Oh, yes, you do. In order to get saved, go to heaven. You're going to have to give Him all of your heart, give Him all of your life. Can I tell you something? He went to the cross, but you're going to have to give Him your heart and life. It's going to cost you you. And when you worship, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your ideologies, your philosophies, your thinking. It's going to cost you something. And one of the things it costs you is that you're not all that, but He's everything. And when you get out of the fact that you're not all that and He's everything, and now you understand that you can truly worship because He's everything. And there's a reason to shout, a reason to clap. I love with the Word of God. You're in Revelation anyway. Let's just check it out together in the 14th chapter. Just flip over to the 14th chapter of Revelation. This time, let's take a look, if you will, in verse number 7, I think it is, of the 14th chapter. And here's an angel speaking. He's proclaiming something. And we're talking about the wonderful subject of worshiping God with understanding, not just out of routine or ceremonial ritual. Verse number 7, here's this angel that's speaking. And he says, saying with a loud voice. Notice the words, loud voice. For some of you, you may not like a church that's loud. You're going to have a hard time in heaven. Heaven's got to be a loud place. And you know why I know that? Because the angels sing holy, 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 that shake the pillars of heaven. And it isn't like just whispering. They're saying out loud who God is. And it shakes the place. I'm talking, here's an angel with a loud voice. And he comes and he makes this statement. He proclaims this, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him. Here's the reason why. Who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. In other words, everything you need, everything you have, everything you'll ever be, everything you'll ever say, every place you'll ever go is all because of Him. And when you worship God with that kind of an understanding, can I say something like the angel? I don't know that you can be quiet. And I personally love to get away from you guys and go sit at home and it's quiet, you know. But then it isn't very long before I reflect on who He is and I get pretty noisy, shouting and hollering. Thank God the neighbors aren't too close. Driving in my car, everybody thinks that man's lost his mind. Where's a cop? Because you can't help but to get loud about Jesus when you have worship with understanding. Fourth thing, things that we should know and do about worship. And I love this. Giving, here you got to know this and do it. Giving is a great form of worship. In fact, quite frankly, giving is all that it's all about. Giving yourself to worship. Giving yourself for others. Giving even of your finances. Did you know that when you bring your finances in to the house of God, that is a worship of God? There isn't anybody in here that doesn't have finances that you think it's yours. The problem with that is it isn't yours. God gave it to you, and you're bringing a portion of it back to you, and God lets you keep a portion. And when you do that, it's a worship to God. That's why Jesus, when he looked and he saw the woman bringing the widow's mite, he says to his guys around him, he says, that woman who just brought in that little nothing, she gave more than all the rest. Why? Because she deposited her life in that offering. And it was a worship to God. It wasn't done out of ceremonial ritual. It wasn't done out of routine. It wasn't done out of tradition. It wasn't done because the next door neighbor does it and you want to go ahead and hold the standard that everybody else is doing it, you'll do it. But you bring yourself and you bring your offering to God is a worship to God. I had so many verses, I had to go through them and find out which one God wanted me to use in order to show that. I want to take you, if I may, to Deuteronomy. Go there with me, if you will. In Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. In fact, let's just pop it up on the overhead. Verse number 10 says this. Now watch this. I think you'll find it fascinating. We're talking about giving, not only of yourself, but giving of your resources that God gives you as a worship to God. Now watch these words. Is that okay? Let's check it out. It says a lot. Watch me. Listen closely. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Stop right there. Notice the word circling your Bible, first fruit. You ever wonder why God requests the first fruit? Because it's a priority thing. What's first in your heart? What's first in your mind? What's first in your life? And when God is first, all of a sudden, the first fruit. And all of a sudden you get something and you set it aside and bring it to the house of the Lord as a worship to God. Now here, may I say this to you? And you do it right off the bat. If you set it aside and do everything else and then whatever you have left over, that you give to God. Have you ever noticed that the first fruit is gone? And first fruit really represents priority of importance. God in worship has got to be first. And that's what it's all about. Some of us make him second, third, or whatever is left over. Now watch this as he goes on. He says, I brought the first fruit of the land, O Lord, and which you have given me. Now stop and think about this. Every one of us in here, when you go to work and get a paycheck and have the money in your pocket, you think of it as your money. Why? You work for it. Why, you had to tolerate the boss. You had to get dressed every day. You had to go into the office. You had to go to wherever it is, the warehouse. You had to work. You labored, put energy behind it, didn't you? You had to work hard. So therefore you, watch this, have the mentality that it's yours. And why not? You work for it. Now stop and think about it. He's talking about a farming society. He says, I'm bringing the first fruit of the land. You didn't tell me that when they planted the seed, they didn't have to dig up the ground. They didn't have to separate the seed. They didn't have to fight off the little rodents that wanted to eat and dig up the seed. They didn't water. They didn't cultivate. They didn't watch, protect their vineyard or their land during that period of time. See, he had put as much effort in the farming as you do every single day. The difference is you have an opinion, and oftentimes so do I, an opinion that what I have belongs to me. He had the same work, same effort, same energy, but he saw it as God's. And now it becomes a worship in which you have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And giving now becomes a worship time because you will never worship God unless it cost you something. And I'm not talking about just finances. I'm talking about your opinions, your feelings, your ideologies, your philosophy. You got to get rid of all of that and see it as all his in order to properly worship him. Is anybody listening? Man, I'm talking, this is good stuff. Here's what we've learned today. Worship to God is me and you. It's going to cost us something. It's us. Every day, what we do, how we react, what we say, the things that we are. Secondly, only God is worshiped. Nobody else. Don't bow down. Don't anything else. You can honor people, and you need to honor people who are honors due. But there's no other God, not even money, but God himself. Worship with understanding. He's the one that created it all. And the one who gives you a heartbeat. The one who gives you the breath. The one who gives you life. The one who set a future and a destiny before you. And by his power can fulfill it. Worship with understanding. Not just brain dead repetition. And worship God by giving from your finances is a great way to worship the Lord, because we all have a feeling that what we have is ours, when in fact it's his, and we're just giving a portion back, and he blesses what he lets us keep. So when we look at this verse, Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 6, let's go there again. Hebrews, first chapter, verse number 6 says this, and let all the angels of God worship him. Worship is important to God, and it ought to be important to us. Four little areas to keep in your heart and in your mind. If God spoke to you today, then worship him right now with your mouth and with your hand. Hallelujah! Woo! Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.